Do you ever find yourself all caught up in your head, overthinking, over-researching, or over-analyzing things? You just might be an Enneagram Type 5. We've shared the Enneagram types who lead with their heart in previous episodes, and now we're going to dive into the types who lead with their thinking.
We're going to start today by exploring the Enneagram Type 5. Are you a Type 5? Are you friends with a Type 5? Maybe you have family members or students who are Type 5. If you're not sure, stay tuned because we'll help you find out. And if you are sure, we'll give you some strategies for working with those Type 5s in your life.
Welcome to the Inspired Together Teachers Podcast.
We're Paula and Michelle, award-winning educators who've worked with thousands of teachers, and we know the struggles that you face on a daily basis.
Do you want to make a difference and still enjoy your life outside of school?
Together, we can tackle the overwhelm, gain clarity, and build confidence to live the life you deserve.
Are you ready to be inspired? We can't wait to explore ways to improve your work life and home life so that you can live your best life. Enneagram Type 5, often called the wise person or the investigator or the observer, is analytical, independent, and deeply curious. They thrive on knowledge and seek to understand the world, often withdrawing into their minds to process information. Today, we're going to talk about Enneagram Type 5s and give some ideas of how you can understand and work with your friends, family, colleagues, and students with Type 5 patterns.
Before we get started, here's a few general cautions. First of all, we're talking about the Enneagram Type 5. If you have not listened to our previous episodes on the Enneagram, be sure and go back and do that. It's a tool for understanding the patterns in our lives and the motivations behind those patterns. As we've said in all of our Enneagram podcasts, we recommend that you listen to the episodes for each type. Today, we're talking about Type 5. Each type is very unique and very different, so listening to all of the 9 types will help you to understand not only yourself better, but to help you understand other people as well.
We always focus on looking at the patterns rather than trying to specifically type someone else. Looking at the behaviors and the things people say gives us clues as to how we can best understand that person and build better relationships with them.
The Enneagram is a great tool. We're both certified Enneagram trainers. We see the application in our life and our classroom, but we want to remember that it's just a tool and we are more than just our type. Our type is one way of looking at a person, but a person is much more than just their type. We've said this many times when we're talking about the Enneagram. There's a saying that all theories are wrong and some are useful. We find the Enneagram is very useful when we look at people's behaviors and patterns so we can learn to work together better.
We also recommend against trying to type children, even young adults. They're still forming their patterns and patterns aren't completely set yet. So we like to just say, look at the patterns that they're showing you. Maybe someday you go back and you'll recognize that, oh yeah, they were a Type 4 all along, but maybe not. So don't try to type children. Just focus on the patterns that you see.
And now on to the Enneagram Type 5s. We love to talk about them. Michelle loves to talk about Enneagram Type 5 because, Michelle, you are
Enneagram Type 5.
And you really are. You fit so many of the behavior patterns of an Enneagram Type 5.
I think I am the poster child for Enneagram Type 5. Think of the people that you know, your friends, your family, colleagues, students that you teach. Who's the one who always has their book open, maybe even in bed under the covers with a flashlight, guilty as charged? Or maybe they're the one who's holding that book under the desk in school, trying to read a few more pages of that fantasy novel while the teacher's not looking. Chances are it is a Type 5.
Here are some patterns, behaviors, or phrases you might hear when people are talking about a typical Type 5 person, the patterns of a person who is a Type 5. First and foremost, they are knowledge seeking. The fives are always researching, they're reading, they're absorbing new information. Sometimes fives learn a whole lot more than they need, but they are always learning.
It's true. You can't stop me from learning. I am notoriously famous for my hundreds of notebooks because I take notes with everything I read because I might need that information or want it or I use it later. Fives are also very independent. They prefer to work alone. They value autonomy and are not really overly dependent on others. It doesn't mean that they don't like others or don't want others in their lives, but they are very self-sufficient and quite happy being alone and doing their reading.
We've talked about people being heart-centered, body-centered, or head-centered. And we said right from the beginning, fives are head-centered. Because of that, they can often become detached from their emotions. They are not processing them in the moment. They say, oh, there's a lot of emotional going on right now. I will process that later when I have time to pick it apart. So fives can sometimes be emotionally detached because they're not a heart center and they need time later to think about it.
Our Enneagram teacher always says that for fives, the body is just important because it holds the head. And that's the important part. It's kind of true. I'm a five, so I can say that. Also, fives like to control their energy. They can easily feel drained with too much social interaction or too much stuff in their space. They can get exhausted from that. If you know about introverts and extroverts, perhaps you recognize that. It's very similar to that. When you are a five and you are around a lot of people, a lot of commotion, large groups that are maybe shallow and that you don't know a lot of people are very uncomfortable for you. You prefer small, intimate groups with people that you know. Big groups just exhaust you. And that is very true for me.
Fives are very privacy oriented. They prefer that strong sense of their personal space. They don't like intrusion into their inner worlds.
Fives are generally deep thinkers. They like abstract ideas, can be very intellectual, or there's a lot of niche subjects that maybe other people aren't fully understanding, and they can just dig in on any given part of anything and like become the world expert on it. And I find that I'll get interested in something. I got interested in the Enneagram and then I read 30 books about it. But then I could get bored with that and like, oh, okay, I know enough about that. But oh, let me go into the, you know, World War II, what was happening. And then I'll just take off on that, chasing the next thing and learning about it deeply.
One of the things about Enneagram Type 5 that I find very fascinating is it's easier for me to be able to pinpoint somebody who is an Enneagram Type 5 than some of the other numbers because they do have the book in their hand. They're always learning. They want to involve you in an intellectual conversation. Some of the other numbers, I feel like the pattern might be this, it might be that. Fives very clearly want to learn. We do an activity sometimes when we do workshops and we say, draw people with the different numbers. People are quick to draw a five. They know what it looks like to be intellectual and thinking. The book under their arm.
It's not a person with a book under their arm. Yeah. But like I'm looking at the table right next to me and there are like 20 books piled up. It's going to tip over if I add any more to it. I've been known to travel and like, thank goodness for Kindle and that I can read electronically, but I still might take 3 physical books in case my Kindle dies and I need a book because it would be very uncomfortable. Literally uncomfortable for me to be trapped at an airport or at someone's house and not have anything to read. That would cause me great anxiety. I know that sounds crazy, but it's 100% true.
Here are some tips and strategies for working effectively with people who exhibit type 5 patterns. Think about that kid as we go through these lists in your classroom who is quiet and highly intellectual and probably an independent learner. These are the kids that are thriving academically, but they might have struggles with social and emotional relationships with the other students. So let's think about ways that we can work more effectively with these kids in our classrooms.
As an educator, you can help fives by offering them stimulating challenges in learning. These are the kids who will read the books you recommend. My teacher said, Michelle, you would really like this book. 100%, I'm going to buy that book or get it out of the library. These are the kids who will read those books. Or they'll gravitate to really challenging clubs where they can take a deep dive into some kind of problem solving thing. I have a niece who's a self-proclaimed Enneagram 5 who's in a robotics club and they just won the state championship. And she and a team of like 4 girls built a robot and took it on competitions. That's the kind of thing that can help kids really thrive if you can find something like that, that they love and that they're interested in. That STEM thing, robotics, academic challenge teams, any kind of educational club that they're interested in. If they're interested in it, they can go deep and get really involved in it. And it's also a social outlet then for them because then they can meet people. They can also excel in music or any subject if they find a challenge and they want to know something. Down the rabbit hole, they go to the library to check out all the books and then they become sort of a mini expert in whatever that topic is that they are driven to study.
In addition to offering them those stimulating challenges and learning, try and challenge them to meet new friends, new kids. They don't need a lot of friends, and they're often overwhelmed by a lot of friends, but they can benefit from a small group of close friends. So help them to find other students who have those same deep interests and love of learning. Put a couple of five kids together and let them talk about what they're learning. They're so happy, but they aren't going to probably gravitate to each other because they kind of keep those emotions at bay. They're a little bit more introverted in their thoughts. So help them find each other. You'll be glad you did. And so will they.
That is true. And I also know that it can work on the opposite spectrum, that fives can benefit from a highly social friend or two, somebody who understands them, who accepts them, and then helps them engage in social activities. As a five, I always found finding friends really difficult, but most of my friends are heart-centered social extroverts because those people bring something that I need. Paula, you're a perfect example of that. Heart-centered, much more extroverted than I am. I have an ease in groups or an ease in talking with people that I might struggle with, yet I feel safe in a group, you know, with people like you, and therefore I will go, then I will have a good time, I'll meet people. So sometimes that works too, but it has to be someone who understands them and makes them feel safe to engage in a group.
A lot of these also apply to your relationships with your type 5 adult. What's true of kids is also true of adults. So think about the colleague you have that maybe seems a bit aloof, or they're not sharing their ideas or their emotions. And you might just wonder, are they antisocial? Do they not like me? Why don't they want to talk to me? No, they're probably a 5 and they're having a lot of deep thoughts. It's not that they're pushing you off. Keep these things in mind when you have friends, family members, or coworkers who are adult type 5s.
Don't take the distance personally. My family, they know I go in my office and I spend time there and it's accepted. Respect their need for space and independence. 5s need that quiet time, usually with books, learning, thinking, writing, those kinds of things.
They also need that time just to recharge. If they're withdrawing from you, they're not rejecting you. They're recharging their mind. It's almost like they can go plug in their social battery and then be ready to come back and join the group.
5s also like time to process things. They don't react emotionally quickly. They don't make quick decisions because they have to think things through. So they need time to process. I would get very nervous in school when teachers just called on me, not because I hadn't done the homework, not because I didn't know the answer, because it would make me flustered. And then I would forget what the answer was and it would make me very nervous. But if you had time, I'm going to call on you in just a minute. Oh, I have time to think about it. Then I'm fine. Sometimes even Paula will say, oh, let's talk about this and then we can record it. I'm like, no, we cannot. We cannot record it until tomorrow because I have to have time to think about it. So give them time to process things so that they can think before they respond, and then they can engage in conversations and decision making.
That lack of pressure also applies to socialization. Avoid pressuring them to socialize because they're going to be miserable and then you're going to feel awful.
5s like opportunities to share their expertise. 5s tend to know a lot. So if there's opportunities for someone to share some kind of wisdom, that's really useful for 5s, and that validates them as well.
Allow them to share that knowledge, but don't expect them to share their emotions publicly. Let's just be really clear about that. We've said they don't really necessarily like to share their emotions like that. You can encourage them to share when they're comfortable doing so. Don't put a 5 on the spot and expect them to tell the group how they're feeling. That is a super uncomfortable place for an Enneagram type 5.
Paula has an activity, which I actually like and I respect. She would always have the students get in a circle at first thing in the morning and go around and give yourself a number. How are you feeling today? And the first time I was asked to do that, it's like, I'm not going to be honest about that. I'm going to say, oh, I'm a 10. I feel great, because I need to think through those feelings. And it's not something I feel like I'm going to share with the group. And so like, you're asking me to lie. It made me so uncomfortable. Now, again, once I'm very comfortable in a group and I know everybody in the group, I might be more, you know, encouraged to do that kind of thing, because that's really, really uncomfortable to me.
Also encourage that balance between thinking things and doing things. 5s can sometimes research endlessly and they aren't taking action because they just want to learn a little bit more about it. And then they better learn a little bit more about it. That can really lead to some inaction. Set some boundaries and time limits and say, okay, we can think, but we also need to do. What are our boundaries around thinking and doing, so we make sure we do both? Because 5s really like to think. They'd be fine to think for a long time and not necessarily necessarily do, which can be frustrating if it would be a colleague or a family member. If you are not a five, like let's say you're a three, you're an Enneagram type three, and you're a doer, you want to go, go, go. You have to learn to balance that out with the five. Yes, they can think, they can't think for 6 months, but what are we all comfortable sharing as our thinking versus doing?
Yeah. And the learning of which things require a lot of research and thinking and understanding and which things really don't. To spend a year researching the best new refrigerator is not useful. You just need to look at some reviews, compare some features of a couple of types. And at some point, you just have to pick one and you just have to go with it. Fives can get lost in that and not make that decision. Then the frustrated person in their life is like, oh, let's just pick one. So be cautious about that.
In each of these episodes, we really like to focus on the strengths of the individuals, the challenges of these individual types, and then just some opportunities for growth. So let's take a minute here to just really focus on the strengths of the Enneagram Type 5.
Type 5s are insightful because they see connections and insights that other people might miss.
They're also super self-sufficient because they don't need that external validation and they can work independently. They don't need you to prod them to start reading and doing the work.
And they also, because of that, have very deep focus. They can really spend time and stay on task, get things done, and have a lot of deep expertise because they can focus well.
One thing I really appreciate about fives, because I am a heart-centered, I'm an Enneagram type two, is that fives can be very objective and very rational. They make their decisions based on logic, on thinking, rather than their emotions. We have the heart types whose emotions can lead the way. I appreciate how fives really logically think through things. They're the voice of reason in a room when other people are letting their emotions take control.
Fives can be really good problem solvers. All the head types can be really good problem solvers because they excel in breaking things down and looking at the different issues and then finding a new way to put things back together, a new solution.
And that new solution, even if it's a pressurized situation, they tend to present it calmly. Fives can really remain calm under pressure. They're composed. Even if everyone else is way up in their emotions, fives can stay calm and keep it together.
Fives also can be really visionary. They see the big picture and they can put things together because they see all that big picture. And then they have vision of what could be.
Fives also have challenges, like all numbers, either real challenges or perceived challenges. Fives can socially withdraw. They might isolate themselves too much, like we talked about. The part that we worry about with fives is they can become very lonely then. You don't want them to isolate to the point that they become lonely.
Fives also process their emotions not in the moment where things are happening, but later. They'll think about what happened there and how do I feel about that? So it's very difficult for them to try to express those emotions. It's not comfortable for them.
Fives can overanalyze. They can really get stuck in that rethinking and overthinking, and then they avoid taking action. We sometimes talk about fives with analysis paralysis. They just can't move forward because they need to think about it. And these are the kids in your classroom who just, they need longer to think about it and talk about it, and everyone else might be ready to move on, and the five is not ready. They might be the same in your family group or your friends. So be mindful of that because that's a challenge for them, and it could pose a challenge for you too.
Five's biggest fear is being incompetent. More than anything in the world, they want to be competent. Other numbers want to be loved or they want to be, you know, in control. Fives want to be known as being competent. That can lead to a little bit of perfectionism to the point where they're going to hesitate to step into situations where they don't feel like they're completely knowledgeable. Even if they already know more than anybody else in the room, they'll say, well, I'm not ready. I can't do that. I have to get a PhD in that before I can give a 10-minute talk in it. That perfectionist mindset takes over. I've seen that in children many times. They will have their report written or their paper or whatever it is they're doing, and they don't want to turn it in because they don't think it's ready yet. Even though it's already probably better than most everybody else's, but it's not everything it could be. And if it isn't there, then I'm not turning it in. And I've had kids withhold work, you know, like, wait a minute, you didn't turn that in. It's going to get a zero. You have to turn it in. Why didn't you do it? Oh, I did it. Well, why didn't you turn it in? Well, because it's just not ready. Well, let me see it. It was more than ready, but in their head, it could always be better. I can always add more. That's a danger. And you'll see that in kids sometimes, probably in adults as well.
And finally, another challenge that fives have is this kind of a boundary issue. They can be overly protective of their time, their space. So sometimes they can come across as very difficult to collaborate with, especially like these younger kids who can't explain to people, I just need my time and space. Like Michelle said, where she'll say to me, Paul, we're not ready to do this. I'm like, yeah, we're ready. She's like, no, we need 24 hours. Then we can do it. As an adult, she's learned to put those boundaries in place. Sometimes you have to teach kids who are 5 to put those boundaries in place in the right way. Otherwise, they can just put up a boundary, and then that can make collaboration for them very difficult.
5s have opportunities for growth, and I think the most common one is 5s often need to learn to balance their intellectual learning and their private space and time with social interaction, that there needs to be a balance between the two of those things. It's something that we 5s can struggle with.
For those of us who aren't 5, there's opportunities for us to grow with the 5s. How can we learn from 5s? How can we take all of this deep knowledge and bring it into our own lives in a way that still respects the comfort level of a 5? Pushing a 5 too far just shuts them down, and then you're not going to be able to gain anything from their knowledge. So there's opportunities for growth for those of us who are not 5s as well.
Type 5s offer much needed wisdom and insight. They're independent, will contribute when they have time to think and process ideas, and they will become valued, even lifelong friends, if you give them space and don't drain them with too much interaction or micromanaging.
To recap, Enneagram Type 5s are great learners and they are great thinkers. They thrive on knowledge, but they can become emotionally and socially overwhelmed. You will work well with Type 5s when you can understand and accept them for who they are and all the gifts that they bring to the world.
In true teacher fashion, we end our podcast with homework. Our homework for you today is to consider who you know has type 5 patterns. How have you interacted with them? Now that you understand what makes them tick, is there something that you might do to improve your interactions with them? Look around your world at home or at school for that type 5 person. Think about what you heard today and ask yourself, what could I do to make this an even better relationship? And as always, we'd love to hear your results. So if you want to drop us a line, we'd love to get your emails.
Before we close out today, we love talking about the Enneagram. As we said, we're certified Enneagram trainers. We're guessing that as you listen to these episodes, you're looking for someone to talk about it with as well. Please share these episodes with your family and friends and talk about it. Study these on your teaching team. Maybe you can all sit down and talk about the Enneagram Type 5s in your classroom. They're there. You can build strategies together. So please feel free to share these podcast episodes. Invite more people into this Inspired Together Teachers community. We would love to have them join us.
That's all for today. Class dismissed.
Thanks for listening to today's episode.
If you'd like to continue the conversation, join us on Instagram and Facebook at Inspired Together Teachers, or head over to our website, inspiredtogetherteachers.com, for more podcast episodes, our award-winning blog, and free guides to help you be your best.
Until next time, may you be inspired in your work life and home life to live your best life.